Canadian Door, please. Next, can I get a roll call?
Colonel Smith?
Here.
Tracy Carluccio?
Here.
Kim Daugherty? Michael Dressler?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtzleg?
Here.
Bruce James? James Panducci? Paul Richko?
Here.
Jim Riley?
Here.
Michael Sebastian?
Here.
Michael Cipang? James Vizioli?
Here.
Richard Bowden?
Here.
Robert Walsh?
Here.
This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Ottawa Capitol sent a notice of time, date, and location of this meeting to public newspapers, draft state, and posted notice on the Ottawa Capitol website.
Please rise to the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item up is approval of partial minutes, May 17th, 2012. Is there a motion, please?
So moved.
Motion?
Second.
And a second, any discussion? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzleg?
Aye.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebastian?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walsh?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next, approval of the full minutes for May 17th, 2012. And a second, any discussion?
One very small correction on page 8, halfway down the page. The next step there for the Excel format there is report the staff recommendation for Harmony Council, which should be running the council.
Thank you, noted. Any other comments or corrections? If none, roll call, please.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtzleg?
Aye.
Councilmember Richko?
Yes.
Councilmember Sebastian?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walsh?
Yes.
Chairman Riley?
Yes. Next item is the chairman's report of the brief as normal. We agreed to put together a bylaws committee at the last meeting. I have reached out to several members that have shown interest, and at this point in time, I'd like to put forward Kim Daugherty, Bruce James, Richard Bowden, Mike Branson, and Mike Cipang. So we'll schedule them to start meeting on this. And Mr. Bowden, would you care to share that?
I agree.
Thank you. Next item up is one of the agenda items this evening, the MOU with the CEP in reference to the delegation of certain exemptions. Unfortunately, we ran into some legalese issues of how to... I'm sorry, smile at that. the intent is to move forward as suggested all along, we just need to clean up some issues. I promise you it will be at the next meeting, so I have to drive around starting tomorrow myself. So, unfortunately, that will be withdrawn for this evening. It will be back before you, hopefully, in advance of the meeting. And DEP has been cooperative, all the parties have been cooperative working on it. So, like I said, I promise you I'll have it the next meeting. That's all I have for this evening. Next up, any city reports?
Let's do our budget. Body of state and budget and contention. I'm wondering if we have a report from either of our directors as to do we have any inkling. I know that when the governor's budget had us flat. Are we still there?
I have delegated budget and grants to Margaret because of her extraordinary prowess in things mathematics. So, Margaret, would you like to we've had a bit of a struggle tracking down the players. I think
Yeah, I did track down
the person that deals with us in the Department of Treasury, and his indication was that in the governor's budget, our funding is flat for this coming year. And he did not anticipate any changes.
So there's an opposition budget that's being pulled together?
I have no idea how, I have no idea how they treated us in that one, but the governor's budget is fine.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other committee reports or comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to first call your attention to a new report that you'll be getting on a monthly basis, which shows the planning conformance and status based on preservation area and planning area of those municipalities that have petitioned us and who have not. And it really supplants this report that you got. We're not going to replace it at this point, but it perhaps is a little simpler to read. And you'll be getting that in addition to what you're already getting. That left us with 60 petition towns, 42 approvals. In the planning area alone, we had 27 that had no petition, and one in the preservation area that had no petition. So we have 42 approved out of 60 petitions. Also on tonight's agenda is a resolution to hire a replacement or a person to fill the job of Dr. Van Abt. When we started this process, I committed to looking internally first, seeing that we have such an extraordinary staff, and the longer I work with them, it's only been 2 months, the more I'm impressed with their skills and their talents. And we interviewed four applicants from within, four highly qualified applicants, who I want to thank publicly for putting themselves forward. I know that can be a very stressful situation, and we have recommended to the personnel committee, and I'm sure that the chairman will have a report on that, the naming of Christine Janis, who has been a lead principal planner here at the Highland from 2005, extraordinarily experienced in both science and planning, and was a program director at the Austin School of Public Policy. Prior to that, she was working in the private sector in Institutional Technology Group, serving as a senior environmental scientist for cleaning up the Fresh Kills landfill in Staten Island. Published contributed in numerous planning and scientific journals and in water-related scientific associations. She obtained her BS degree in biology from Stockton College, a MS in environmental science from Rutgers, and her Master's in City and Regional Planning from the Edward Hosking School. Christine, I believe, has an extraordinary set of skills and talents who can serve this this agency extremely well, serve the residents of the region very well, and so we're just delighted to be able to place her name in nomination. Chris, are you here to stand with you? We'll wave. The next item you have in your folders is the delegation of executive authority, which is a topic that has come up over the last couple of meetings as to what authority the council wishes to retain. And we've done a briefing on that. We have our staff attorney here to address that if necessary, and we also have our DAG here to address that. That's been distributed in all of your packets. I may have been emailed. Is that emailed also?
Yes.
So it's emailed to you and it's in your packet, I think, which offers a number of compelling reasons that you should consider. So I'm biased on that, obviously. The next item I just want to mention is we took a tour on Tuesday, was that right? Yeah, Tuesday of the Tennessee Gas Pipeline on the ground and in the air to examine what is occurring there. I'll have to say I'm satisfied that they have restored the land properly. We had our environmental resource expert, Gary, with us, and she pointed out what we should be looking for in vegetation and growth. I think that vegetation and regrowth along the pipeline is a lot like money. It takes time to grow. And it's growing, I think, satisfactorily. Now we need a little bit of rain, not a lot. I think it'll come nice. I have to say I'm impressed with them as stewards of the land and how well they've restored the property. Next item is that we have talked about getting the council and the public better acquainted with our staff to understand perhaps how things go on behind the doors and what goes on in the week that you are not here. And so what we'd like to do with the shared commission is do a rolling program at every meeting where we're not jammed up with other topics, but to discuss items that might be of interest to you, how we approach things, how we do things, or how things are impacting the region. We're looking forward to having a number of other agencies do presentations to us. But first, we really wanted you to get to know staff, get to know what they do. And one of the more mysterious and exciting things that we do is GIS. And GIS really makes possible the type of planning that we are doing here on a regular basis. So we've asked Roger Karen, our GIS director, who unfortunately has accepted a job in the private sector and will be leaving us as of tomorrow. So we wanted to put him on the spot today so I can give you this presentation. But I think you'll enjoy it if we might do that, Mr. Chairman.
This is
a discussion of our GIS systems application, how we use it in the Highlands, how we map areas, and we go right down to the parcel level, and really more information than anything specific, but just one of our planning tools that we think is rather exciting.
Is it a brief overview, or?
It's a brief overview. I would say tops 10 to 15 minutes. Okay. Roger? And with Roger's conclusion, my report is concluded.
Hello, Roger. Good afternoon. How are you? I like that. So, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Roger Karen, GIS Director here at the Highlands, and like Gene said, tomorrow will be my last day here at the Highlands, taking on a new opportunity in the private sector. What I'd like to do today is just give you a brief overview on some of the interactive applications that we have that are currently available online and areas where we're going, some next steps. So, a number of years ago, this council was formed, and one of the first most common questions that came about was from the public was, what can I do with my property? With that, our GIS unit found an opportunity to help the public, help the council, help the staff understand the act and the impact it has on properties. So we've developed a number of applications. We've developed a suite of applications which includes that's currently available on our website, our interactive map, consistency application, and HDC estimator. The whole philosophy behind these interactive maps is sort of this closed circle, where we engage citizens in citizen engagement. We add transparency to the government process. We improve efficiency. We add savings to the council, and then also pass those savings on to our citizens here in the state of New Jersey. So with that, what I want to do is just show you really briefly some of the tools that we have currently available. We have our interactive, from our website, you can click on our interactive map, the application HDC estimator tool. I'll also say that we also do have GIS information that we use in-house available to any user on our GIS download site. It's a little bit more for the sophisticated users who have software, whereas these suite of applications is more geared towards the everyday user. So, actually, what I have here, sorry about that. So it's just a quick overview here. Come to our intro page, and this is all live, by the way, so there's no sort of hidden cameras here, just to show you some speed of these applications. So real quick, here's our region. You've got all the different layers that the Highlands Council uses to work for our planning and science. And again, we developed these a number of years ago, but what we've done recently is we've added some enhancements. So we've really condensed the tools, the panning and zooming tools that we use. We've also added a feature called map size, where we can increase the resolution of a map. Everybody uses computer screens at different resolutions, so this really helps eliminate some of the dead space that you sometimes might find, like here, for example. We've also added an interesting tool. So in case you haven't been to the site to use it, let me just show you. Chester, New Jersey. You can search based on entering a really your address search, or you can search by municipality, drill down by municipality, block and block. So here we have our site right here. Zoom in to our building. One of the enhancements that we've made is we have a buffer tool. So this buffer tool is really, really neat. What you can do is you can set an extent to the buffer, 200 feet to 300 foot buffer. And you can click on a property, any property in the Highlands region, and it shows you a little bit of information about the property itself. And you can click on the buffer list. And what this list do, it will retrieve for you a list of property owners and addresses within the 200-foot buffer or 300-foot buffer. Okay? Pretty cool, right? You can then export that list. And I just have one exported here, so I'll just show you. Not there, so I'm not going to go through all that. And from here, it drops you right to Excel, and you can do whatever type of processing you want with that. Really neat feature, really, really helpful. I believe a lot of municipal clerks and municipalities really can see great value with that feature right there. Sorry, I'm a little bit ahead of myself right there. And so another thing that we like to do is we like to really leverage a lot of free resources on that are available. So we use Google, we use Microsoft, free aerials. We also use the state of New Jersey as well. But a lot of times we get called, things change on land, and properties get developed, and things happen. So rather than going out to each site and each and every call, we first look at these applications and see what exists on this site. So if you notice here, this is our building. About a year ago or so, we had a cell tower put in the back here. So we have this application called 3D Bird's Eye View, which gives you a direct link to Microsoft's application. And what you can see clearly is that something now has been built here in the back of our building right here. This helps us, again, really identify what's going on the property. This is an aerial view, which is really neat. Microsoft offers these oblique images, which are images taken from an angle. You can get really, really close in and see what's happening on a property. And as you can see here, this building is a little bit older. Like the cell tower doesn't exist in this one either. Not that one either. And there it is again, from a different angle. So using a combination of tools, we leverage these free resources to really help us understand what's happening on the ground. In addition, of course, we have, like we had prior to that, all of our different layers that we have available. Let me just close this out of here. We have all of our different layers that are available to help identify, what are some of the resources on a paper property. Again, leveraging Google, you can add terrain. So here I've got our speed slope protection areas laid on top of our the terrain that's available through Google. And you can see this is a pretty good, correspondence to that. So just shows that our data really is really, 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 really great here. A couple of other applications that we have our consistency review. Consistency review really is one of our premier applications. It really gets down to the nuts and bolts of what a property owner can do on his or her property. What it does is for every property, click on a property, just like we have done before, and it returns for you a report. And that report, there's a lot of stuff going on here on the left-hand side. These are all the layers that the Highlands looked at when we review projects. But only the checked ones affect this particular property. Okay? So it really gives the property owner a more manageable resource to say, well, what's the act, what are the resources that are really going to affect my property? From that, you can create a report. So we're going to call it Gene's Place. Okay? And we're going to create a report. Report comes back as a PDF document. It can be printed out. It can be emailed. So right off the bat, within a few clicks of the button, a property owner gets a really good sense of what's happening on their property. How does the Highlands view their property? And in this report, it not only shows the resources, but it links those resources to the goals, policies, and objectives in the RMP. So it tells the property owner, okay, well here, you know, on my property, there's prime groundwater recharge. What the heck does that mean? Well, in this report, it tells you, it gives you a definition of what prime groundwater recharge is, and it tells you how the Highlands Council views prime groundwater recharge based on goals, policies, and objectives. The third application that we have in our suite of applications is our HDC estimator tool. Estimator tool, what this does, it allows property owners to drill down to their property to understand how many Highlands Development Credits could they possibly get for their property, or whether or not they're eligible for Highlands Development Credits based on the criteria that Highlands has set out. So we're just going to search on a property here. Again, same platform, drill it down, it shows you the property, and it also puts your report in this particular case. It tells you the zoning, it tells you how many constrained areas are on this property, and the estimated HDC range between 42 and 43. Again, just like before, I'm not going to spend time now, but you can create a report similar to the one that you just saw that returns a report of all this information in terms of how much the estimated range. Great information, it's transferable, you can carry it around, gives property owners really what they need to know in a very short amount of time. Moving forward, a couple of things that we are working on. There's three applications that we're currently working on right now. And so they're in the stage of development right now. So what I did is I just prepared a little movie for you because our consultants are currently working on this now. And I didn't want to have it crashing when it starts. So just real quick before I get into it, there's three applications that we're working on, and they're updates applications. Updates to the internal information that we have. So we're just focused on utilities first, water, wastewater, and preserved open lands. Our current applications is sort of a one-way distribution. We distribute information out to the public. With these new applications, the update applications, we close the loop, and we allow the public to interact and give us information using the web. Really, really neat tool. Public can go on. They can log into the update. And I'm just going to show you the wastewater application because they're all based, it's all the same concept. So you enter an email, you're going to log in, and once you log in, you're going to be sent a user profile. This is something that you fill out as a user. A lot of information about the different types of utilities and capacity information you can enter as part of your user profile. After that, you're going to go to the map, and really, I mean, the simplest thing, the way to explain this is you're going to click on a property, and you're going to tell us whether or not it's served or it's not served by water, wastewater, or if it's a preserved land, or if it's not a preserved land. These are things that constantly come up with our WMP planning. This is something we're working on all the time. Preserved land is somewhat of a moving target. And it's important for our planners to know what's preserved and what's not. So as you can see on the screen, you're just going, you're clicking on a parcel, you're going to identify that it is a wastewater parcel. This is the information that you want to update. It gives you all the block and lot information. It asks you to select whether it's served or not. It asks you for documentation, billing records, whether it's part of a treatment plant. It also asks you who's reporting the documentation. Are you a municipal authority? Are you part of a municipality? You can also submit that information, uploading it or via fax or email, add some comments. That information is submitted. It's then housed. There's also a confirmation that comes with that. The user gets an email confirmation to say that, yes, they submitted a report or an update. And from that, the Highlands Council houses that information, and then we look at it, either approve or reject it with some comments. And then that information, once approved, becomes part of our in-house GIS system, and then we upload it to the web. We make it as part of the data download. It's a really, really efficient way of really expediting the process of retrieving information for utilities and for preserved lands. Next steps after that is really as technology changes and as users change, your options are limitless, really. But there's a lot of good applications that are out there, a lot of ways that the GIS unit can leverage the work that they've done so far and the information that's out there to create really value-added products for the public, for the council, and for the staff. So with that, just an overview. I absolutely encourage you, if you haven't done so already, when you're home tonight, find your property, find a friend's property, find out what's going on in their property, and take it from there. So, all right.
Thank you, Roger. All this is public information found through our website.
Yes, everything that I've done so far. Well, the movie is not available just yet because the updated application is still in development. But all the other applications are available on the web right now. They've been available for quite some time. It's just we've updated some data. We made some major updates to data, which is also available through our GIS download.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Any questions?
Yeah.
Do you give us any
sense of interaction that's happened with the public on this and the feedback from it and how useful it's been through
them? Yeah, I mean, we do keep analytics. So we do have a breakdown of users that come to visit the site. When it first started out, it was, I think the first month, it was about 2,000 unique users came. It's dropped off since then, but then has, been at a constant rate of, I think, around 100, anywhere between 100 and 200 users a month. In terms of feedback, I mean, we get a lot of really great feedback. In fact, last meeting, I believe, someone had, stood up and made a public comment that, these applications are really terrific. They really provide a lot of really good information. All the feedback we really have gotten here is very, very good. We haven't gotten anybody who said, oh my God, I don't think
so. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Good luck in your next job.
Thank you very much.
Okay, real quick, the source of the name and address information.
So the name and address information comes from tax data. So the county, I may say this up, but it is the County Board of Tax Assessors. They maintain a list through what's called their Mod 4 database, and that information is publicly available.
Are you online for those lists?
No, what we do is we actually pull those lists down, and then we incorporate that information into our database.
Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Good luck. Thank you very much. I realized halfway through this, I had prepared a PowerPoint. I didn't use it. That's right.
It's a rather ominous farewell, but thanks for the presentation. Good luck at your next job.
You guys can all play this.
Thank you very much.
Anything else?
Mr. Clough?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask your favorable consideration on the personnel resolution.
Next up, the first resolution has been pulled for the MOU with the DEC. The consideration of resolution authority for plan conformance and Highlands project review. This matter, voting matter with public comment. And at this point in time, I'll accept the motion for this resolution. So vote, thank you.
Thank you.
Second. We have a motion and a second.
Yes, no, the second, I
Okay. Received the memorandum from Mr. File. This is no different than what has been done for 2009, I think that was correct. 2009, the delegated duties. Responsibilities. Sorry, I just looked at the mic. Yeah, exactly. Has been delegating these in 2009. While I know Mr. Alston has had concerns and does want to review items within the delegation process, which we can certainly open up, but I do think it's important that we do move forward with delegating these. Otherwise, the council is going to have to start meeting literally. As I said, twice a week for to take care of these items, so we might just grind the council down to crawl with that. So,
this is the same as the last resolution? And the same as the one before that and before that? Actually, there are three continuing resolutions going back to 2009. So when I first came on board, we were going to make it permanent. Let's keep time frame on it. Things change.
So don't matter who the executive director was trying to review this.
Yeah. As you recall, they actually held it on this one by me. I think it's the last meeting with the fuel unit presented some changes to the file. And we talked in great length about the council's navigating some of its right responsibilities to the executive director, where we're going to go on that. I would like to see us wait for this until we get a report from the file committee indicating where they want to go and what rights and responsibilities. I personally do not have an issue with that, but I don't think we should take any action. We should at least go bump to bump, otherwise the work that's done by the executive director and staff comes to stop.
I don't have a problem with that. I would like to see a review of the individual responsibility so that everyone here knows what rights we have, what rights the executive director has.
What I'd like to get from council members, I'm almost afraid to look to my right, is a list of items that's on the current list that council would like to review moving forward. It's not decision necessarily, but target those items so we can bring it up for discussion and get some background and some history on it instead of debate and get the history after the fact.
So this is a resolution that was extended for 30 days?
I think it's a longer time frame, but that can't be amended. I would probably suggest 60, but...
If we're in the midst of this, I don't have a problem with 30 days of reviewing this, but we have to extend it.
Mr. Chairman, I suggest that you go a little bit longer because summer is coming. You're going to have probably difficulty with the quorum and different people being here at different times. So if I extend at least through the summer, I think it will serve the council better.
And quite frankly, we could, if we have a change in policy, which I don't foresee within 60 days, that would circumvent this resolution.
Real quick, I have item number four, the exemption determination review and issue exemption determination. any event that the applicant disagrees with the decision by the director, what's their appeal mechanism? The entire council. Let me ask our staff attorney, Jim Kaiser, to give you a little overview as to what authority you really retain, because you really aren't giving up anything. You always have a appeal process or some other method to approach it.
Jim, can we get this set up here, please?
Yes, sir. This resolution says it's following the final piece, yes. That seems to be a very strong.
Gene, I'm not convinced that. I don't need to be sure. I'm not convinced that up until perhaps you became the executive director, that the opinion was the same as the decision just rendered.
Yeah,
I said, I'm not convinced that people were told that they had the ability to appeal a decision by the executive director about an exemption to the entire council. Because my understanding out of the world here is that people would come here, get information, ask if something would be bad, and they were told, you need to go to the DEP and get an HAD. And then, boom, that was done. They'd have to hire an engineer, hire an attorney, pay the fees, get the HAD. I'm not aware, and I'm familiar with several cases, where that any of them were ever told that you can appeal that recommendation to the entire council.
That's why I asked Jim to speak, because appeal may be the wrong word, but Jim can explain. We just discussed it this afternoon.
In the planning area, conforming planning area, the Highlands Council has just started reviewing planning area exception determination. That's where we have a jurisdiction. And we're keeping they're online. And as of today, I think there are only three that have been discussed. Actually, two of them have discussed, been decided, and I think one, we just, it was the wrong jurisdiction, they need to go to the CDC. So it's the planning area exception determination that we're doing. And they are online. But what happens is we get constituent phone calls all the time, and they look for, we either explain what needs to be in a non-conforming, in a conforming planning area, we have to be in a planning area and what the ramifications are in terms of what they want to do, or we try to educate the public and in the preservation area, give them what we think might be their options, and tell them maybe people to reach a city of.
So in the preservation area, as we've been set up right now, somebody can come here and ask if they're exempt, and if they're told they're not, their only recourse is DEP.
Your DEP has the jurisdiction of such a preservation area. What happens is there are two exemptions, 9 and 11, that have to do with infrastructure and telecommunications and things like that. The DEP retains jurisdiction. You have to make the application to the DEP, but the DEP sends votes to us to make a consistency determination as whether it's consistent with the regional master plan. Once he makes that determination, it's the DEP that makes the final determination.
That determination is right there.
The consistency, yes. And that is done with the processes and the standards that discuss in the regional master plan. And Roger gave you an example they use that process that's on the internet in terms of the consistency determination. So it's the data and regional master plan process there.
Well, what about exemption 1? Somebody has the lot that they own prior to the implementation of the act, and they're in the preservation area.
Right. It would be
the DEP. Still the DEP. But what about the...
We only have
an executive order, and I may be wrong in calling it an executive order. When we said that we were going to train municipalities and authorize municipalities to make exemption determinations, are we only doing that for planning area?
Yes.
So just so everybody understands, if you happen to live in the preservation area still, even something as simple as I own this property prior to March of 2004, you have to pay money and get an HAD to prove that you can build a house on the lot that you've always owned.
I can't speak to the details with the DEP, but it was supposed to be the way I understood it. It was supposed to be planning area, Highlands Council, part of jurisdiction, and preservation area, DEP.
go.
It's not specific. An adjustment that is insane. There's an exemption in the law that says you can do what you want to do as long as you get criteria, and you got to go back to the DEP and say yes, in fact, right? Yes.
That's
what's killing
people right now.
This is absolute nonsense. We're not fixing this thing. And it's only just 7 years after this damn law was passed.
Pardon me for shooting off like that. There's hell bells, guys. It's not what we're supposed to be
getting. Is that legislation?
I'm thinking that we're confusing you how this is possibly in terms of the prior resolution and this resolution. But, yes, so the legislation definitely says that preservation area has jurisdiction over 17 exemptions in the EP of the preservation.
You're limiting with the planning bill, but what has the planning got to do with the preservation? I thought there was a clear understanding line.
There is. And that basically has the region of the preservation area, and half the region is the planning area.
Right.
The DEP that the EP has jurisdiction over the preservation area. And that the Highlands Council has jurisdiction in the planning area for those communities that conform in the planning area. However, we did do a visual master plan for the entire region.
So if municipality does not choose to not use want to agree to master plan in the planning area, we're not a player.
We're not a player.
Challenge. Is that correct?
Correct.
The NOU would only happen if these plans were performed in the planning area, not the preservation area.
Is it possible to do some research on the legislative history to find out why the distinction?
Yes, I can do some research for you.
I'm interested in finding out why the distinction between the preservation and the planning area.
I can do more research, but I would, David Manis has several studies done in the Highlands region. There is two federal studies that he's done, and they have designated as an area very similar to the preservation area as high water quality and hot side area. So, but I can get these references from the second study.
I have a question, and I've had this question for the Canopy. In section 17A, Part 1D states that any member of the public may request the council to consider reviewing an application for development in the preservation area provided as a professional. Any member of the public can request that we hear any application even if we move the responsibility to the municipality to operate with them. I was section 17A and part of 1D. I'd like to know how that applies.
Are you happy with this?
I know you would have the answer, but I'd like to know.
Mr. Chairman, can I just suggest that some of these issues are things that we are discussing in the context of the memorandum of understanding. Make it clear it's still an ongoing dialogue, but we'll try to put myself in a proper position to answer some of these things right here. But obviously if council members have issues in this area that they think need to be part of the MOU discussion, certainly willing to look at it in that context as well.
Yeah, but he asked a very simple question on it. I'm looking at my dispute.
What kind of law? I'm not sure. Some question that your question there?
She's done a research.
I'm sorry.
The law says the following are exempt from the provisions of this act, the master plan, and any rules or regulations adopted by the DEP pursuant to this act, or any amendments to a master plan, development regulations, other regulations adopted by the local government unit, specifically conform with the regional master plan. One, and then those practices that the most crucial. How then can that be construed?
Hmm?
then can that be construed? The DEP has any right to say yes or no? If you're exempt, you're exempt. Why do I have to go to the DEP and make them say yes or exempt? Why is the presumption not that I am exempt?
I think this is logical to say that it might be a little difficult for them to answer these questions at this moment.
That's exactly right, although I will point out that this comes up certainly in under the Highlands Act and under other regulatory statutes that have exemptions, and the position that you advance, that look at the statute that you're exempt, and that's certainly a reasonable interpretation of the statute, but I think the reality on the ground is people in the region want a piece of paper.
I understand. No, I understand the desire to have a piece of paper, so being clear.
Right.
But I can read English, okay? I went to college, I got a degree on my wall, it's okay, it's nice and fancy, nice brain. I can read so I can say, I don't know, you have DEP, the Highlands? Here it is. It says, read my survey. It's very clear. I go and I do what I want to do in my home. Who's going to stop? Who's the DEP Highlands police that's going to come in and say, whoa, did you get your letter saying that you are in fact exempt? Is that what's going to happen?
I think another scenario that I think we frequently see is, for example, if you're going to be needing financing to build that house or build that addition, the bank, somebody at the bank who's probably even more conservative than a lawyer, people who are lending money.
The banks who want to see something.
I think that's been the experience of, not just in the Highlands region, but with other regulatory statutes where there are these exemption provisions.
And right now, a homeowner who wants to have that kind of letter would go where? To the DEP?
Yes, there's a preservation area.
Okay. And if they are in the planning area, where do they go to get this?
Here.
People dispensation. They come here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Why can't they go to their locals? I guess, and under your memorandum of understanding, they'll be able to go to, under the memorandum of understanding to which we are going to describe shortly, hopefully, it will be in the hands of the municipality to be able to do that, correct?
In the planning area.
Certain exceptions in the same.
Seven different.
But for other ones, is this one of them?
It's number one, okay.
But in the preservation area, they got to go to the DEP in front.
Because only somebody in the DEP is able to look at a deed and see that you owned it prior to March of 2004. Local zoning officials can't make that determination on their own.
Hey, that's the
chairman. I imagine that with a go for a building permit also, construction permit, then you have your exemption. Where's the exemption? There is a lot of administrative stuff that goes on, and construction official is probably the biggest thing in roadblock with prior approvals. You check the law, and you've got to have this, that,
The building is not interrupted. There's a building code instructor, and I read building code. They can be covered in documents. If they're able to understand it and approve those things, are they unable to read a deed and unable to read a law? Is that kind of place of language? Do they get the provision themselves?
They're not
going to get that. I'm not saying whether they will or not, but should they? It is.
What you need to understand
is on the government, it's got to go to France. They've owned the property for this period of time. This is part of why this thing is so damn ridiculous.
If any of you lived in the Highlands preservation area, which I do, every single simple building for this now is ultra scrutiny. And everybody in every municipality, in terms of zoning officials, construction officials, are scared to death of violating the Highlands Act. So what you do when you're a bureaucrat, and no offense to those of you who work for government, but if you're faced with a really difficult question, you just punt it, and somebody else gets it. So these people who are entitled to very clear exemptions that the legislature clearly intended to happen, so that people who own a home and just are living out their years can just do simple things, can't do it without going through hurdles and roadblocks and spending money. And the lawyers and the engineers are just too eager to bring up some billable hours to interpret all this.
That's why I asked that our attorney to take research from the in order to have a split between the preservation and the planning zone, some discussion had to have taken place in the legislature in order to have a reason why they decided one set of criteria for one area, one set of criteria for the other area. So let her do the research and find out what that was and go from there.
I really want to ask you to figure out how to get the boundaries.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect this
is like such a political message. It's a big part. While I'm enjoying part of it, I think it's really away from where we're going.
May I ask just one? I think you can answer this question. Is there language in the Act that specifically powers the DEP to have that authority in the preservation area? Or did that occur in one of our very early memorandums of understanding? I honestly don't recall.
It's in the Act.
It is in the Act,
yes,
somewhere
in the Act.
Here. You know where?
Yes.
Let's back up to the resolution and the other issue is the quality.
It's my understanding, Kim, I think you're saying this, that you have the right to review a decision made by the executive director. You can call for a review of that decision. And certainly we can put something in the mechanism that provided the details of decisions that have been made on a weekly basis, if you like, and choose those that you wish to push.
I feel strongly about that. I believe there's a determination that's being made. If council doesn't get the ability to see what they are, or having any understanding, quite frankly, finding out after the fact, it's rather embarrassing for any council member. So I do believe there should be some kind of mechanism, a timing mechanism for us to find out about this. Anything you determine is in place prior to the week, prior to, you know,
what in fact is a policy committee, with each of these exemption determinations that are being made, it becomes history, and pretty soon it evolves into a policy. Well, we made this determination back in 2008. This is very similar, so we should go this way again with it. And the problem is why I've always asked for an outline of these decisions. We've never, as a deliberative council, been able to review the history of determinations. Terms of exemption, to be able to say, yes, we agree with the way that is the law is being applied in this instance, or no, we think that's starting to deviate a little bit too far, and we want to make a correction. We've never had the ability, never seen a list of here's what we're doing. We've had Tennessee Gas, we've had TSE&T, a couple biggies, but the day-to-day stuff we've never seen. That's not to say that there's something wrong, but we've never had an opportunity to review it to say that, yes, this reflects what we as a council want to have happen.
In fact, when we have a consumer system right now, for example, there's a number 9 and a number 11 exception in the preservation area, because the Hodges Council has only rendered decisions on exemptions in the project planning area twice, and we haven't opened them online. So that's where we stand with power and determination. In terms of the consistency determination we make, that goes from back to the DEP, who is the final arbiter. They make the final decision on the 9/11 in the preservation area. That's where we get involved in the extension of the preservation area.
So, I hate to ask this question. Who's been making all the extension determinations in the planning area now?
It's only in non-conforming, but yes, if they're non-conforming, the act is no problem. If they're conforming municipality, this is all new, this is a conforming municipality in the planning area, and we really only let you come in so far.
The problem is, it's not the ones that come in, it's the ones that don't even bother. It's the folks out there to look at this and say, I'm not even going to go anywhere near this current set. That has been the death knell to any kind of construction, any kind of improvement, any kind of anything going on in the Highland region, which as someone who's on this side of the political wing, views that as the real intent of this whole damn act, which makes it seem so nefarious and so darn evil, that it's why Sheriff has the first place. So I guess here's the real man, Bill Parker.
Any other questions? Strictly about the delegation of authority to the executive director.
I have a motion on the floor. I'd like to amend my motion. We're going to vote on a resolution to review this every 6 months, reassess this every 6 months. How about if we say in 90 days, we change 6 months to 90 days, 3 months to 5 months.
I'll amend the second to amend that. But why can't we use the same model in reference to the decisions that they land you for to in the appeal to the governing body at the end of the day? And so if we're talking about any decisions that our administration makes, then the final appeal should be to this board, to this commission. And if we just use that model, it really simplifies things. And it takes away all the what if or whatever. And so the final appeal from an applicant of any kind is to the council if you're unhappy with any determination by the administration.
Yeah. I've seen through a document, through it was over. It was a list of exemptions. We're not talking about 100 exemptions. We're talking about hundreds, maybe thousands. Am I correct?
Only two.
In the planning area, non-conform. That's all we did in part with, other than doing consistency determination for number nine and number 11 exemptions.
That was the area. Are you looking for the executive director giving you a list of what he had to deal with as far as convention determination?
Right, but just I think to clarify, you said non-conforming, but
conforming. So exemptions are conforming municipalities.
Again, I would question if a municipality conforms with the planning area, just so we're all in understanding, they then have to abide by the rules that are in place for the exemptions, and the Highlands Council then determines applicability of all the exemptions, one right on through.
With the exception of 3 and 17, they don't apply in the planning area.
So, which we've delegated to this point to the executive director. So you're suggesting that even in just the two towns that have conformed now, there's not been a single home built, or a single addition onto a home that would have utilized exemption 1 or 2, that, I mean, they must have been having some activity. So, I wonder, these towns don't have a single thing happening there?
You're probably not wrong. But, and so the part of this getting the word out is getting the word out to this municipality. And in order,
Mr. Chairman, I had a question from the phone.
Yes.
There's an amendment on the floor to change this to 90 days to 6 months. Was that amendment seconded? I couldn't quite hear.
There was a motion and a second to amend it to 90 days as opposed to.
Okay, so are we discussing that amendment now? It seems like we got back to discussing the entire exemption issue.
No, I think what was brought up by Mr. Francis was the ability, if somebody does not like a determination from the executive director, that individual may have a right to appeal to the council, right? Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make a comment on the amendment. And also ask for clarification. I was under the impression that if we took no action, that the approval that was already approved in the last council action, which was to allow the delegation to remain in place, would remain in place until the council took further action. That's the way it was explained to us in the past. Is that not correct?
That is correct.
Well then, I mean, I think there has been some suggestions made by council members that we finish the bylaw revision And I would also add, get more information. You know, we heard one person say, well, all work of the council would stop if this didn't happen. And now we hear that there haven't even been any exemptions that have come before the council executive director that needed action. So I think we...
That's only one of the functions that passed on to him. You feel like he's been one of the strongest supporters of this delegation.
I'm supportive of the delegation in the past, but I'm concerned because we have our top two executive positions with new people. And so I'm concerned that we at this time not delegate this authority. And I think that we really should get more information. I hear questions from the council members about, you know, exactly what work is going on the part of the executive director. What approvals are being done over the past 6 month period, for instance, or I think it's 7 months now since we have acted on this. That were performed under this particular delegation of authority. So, you know, until we really know that, I can't say that we should affirmatively act on anything. It makes more sense to continue to do our work in terms of the bylaws and then to get more information about whether this truly will be a, you know, a total stop or a twice a week meeting on the part of the council, because dire predictions that are being made that are not necessarily borne out by the actions that the executive director has been taking.
I just agree with you, and I think there's a reason that you supported these in the past, because it was a functioning tool that needed to be done by staff, not by the council as a whole, to run the day-to-day operations, which I think is where you're trying to go with it, quite frankly. And a three-month extension so those bylaws can be looked at, reviewed, brought back to council, and have something put into place, depending on what comes out of that committee, could be very little, could be a lot, I don't know yet. So I don't see the problem with 3 months. Why should we be having this exact same discussion every 30 days?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to say one thing. The last meeting, you didn't say anything. You said why I thought something. Please don't project on me why I supported it in the past. A lot of the reason I supported it in the past was confidence in the executive.
I know.
Yes. I think whether we pass this or not, this file will continue under the old that
if this vote goes down,
it will vote. But I'm saying that I agree with the 90 days resolution, and I think we should vote on it and pull the question.
Had to submit exemption determinations to the DEP. I will be glad to bring them in so you can see what people have to go through to get an exemption determination from DEP. A little off the subject, but let me get on the subject. And that is item number two. For Highlands PDR program, you review and issue HDC allocation determinations and execute any related documents and deed of easements. The deed of easements, and there are four different versions of them here, are onerous documents. They have never been even heard by this council. As a matter of fact, the prior acting executive director purposely shunned them aside because he did not want this council to consider what these deeds of easements said. I would like to put them before you as part of consideration of this resolution. I would like you to mull over the deeds of easement, see if they don't go too far, and put your seal on them or not as you see fit. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public wish to hear on it? Seeing none, roll call.
This is on 90 days, right?
90 days.
Councilmember Olmstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
No.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Halterly?
Aye.
Councilmember Richfield?
Yes.
Councilmember Savicic?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Roberts?
Yes. Motion passed, 10-1. Next up, consideration of resolution, position of Director of Planning and Design. As the Executive Director noted, Christine Dennis has been recommended to the Personnel Committee. Personnel Committee met. We accepted the nomination. We saw from a continuity standpoint and seeing strong recommendations. It was a worthwhile appointment. I personally haven't worked with her, so I don't know if they're bad. I'm sure she's doing fine. So, without any further ado, can I get a motion on that? I'll move that.
I second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion from council members?
I would like to know how we fill in the other salary.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was passed down. The salary is at $98,000. Any other questions?
Just on the operational standpoint, Dr. Vinayas was a scientist. I'm not sure how we stand up here, but if there is a delta, how are we going to fill that need?
We have a couple of scientists already on staff. We have a water engineer. We have on a part-time basis a hydrogeologist. And I honestly believe if that need presents itself, we can find someone either through DEP or through Rutgers or through on a consultant basis. The need is consistent, and I think we fill it with the two people we have on staff. We have wildlife resource people as well on staff, going on to the science side of the ledger. So I think as we need someone with a particular expertise and discipline, we can find them through the academic or the professional community. But Delta is number one, and you think it's fairly small and easily filled. Easily filled, it depends on the extent of the problem. But I think it is certainly something we can deal with as it is. We are, I think, remember, we're still a planning organization, although a water planning organization, and planning will take, the burden of carrying the water, so to speak.
One of the things I would suggest is our new executive director is going to give you a report. Let us know about individuals that are leaving and people that you will be
Roger's meeting with our insurance company, what that position is going to be filled, if it's still in the bid, or if somebody else will move, we will have to hire somebody else to take that position. So I think in your reports, you might be a good idea to inform us, what's going on with the staff.
I'd be happy to, Mr. Karen's.
You don't want to do it public, by the way.
No, I'm happy to do that if it is public information at that point. Mr. Karen's resignation letter is in your package today. So that was provided to you formally today. I think what we're looking at, we're going to ask for probably a 30-day break from filling any of these positions until we see how what our needs are. And look at organization. We'll come back to personnel required by the current bylaws. And talk about organization, talk about what the best person, what the best qualities we're looking for in our replacement staff.
Concerned with continuity, you have new executive director, assistant director, you have new chief planner, chief GIS person is leaving, so that's why I brought that up, concerned about our staff.
And I am too. I think we're committed to promoting from within if we can. It was a skill set that we need to have to come outside the agency. I will bring that to you as well. But I am truly committed to that. That continuity, as we discussed earlier, this is an agency of a lot of moving parts. And we have to have people on staff who understand how those parts interface and how they work. So that's I'd like to leave as a to be determined category for a few weeks.
And we'll certainly update you.
Any other comments? Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would like to speak in support of Chris Janis, and I'm very impressed with her over the years with her work and her ability, and pleased with the recommendation of the planning of the personnel committee, and very glad that she's available for her position.
Thank you,
Mr. Lucio.
Any other comments? Not at this point in time, I'll open it to the public. Would anybody in the public wish to say anything with it? Just raise your hand.
On that?
Yes, on this one. Seeing none, we will close the public portion. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Alstead?
Yes.
Councilmember Carluccio?
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler?
Yes.
Councilmember Francis?
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway?
Aye.
Councilmember Richco?
Yes.
Councilmember Sevicic?
Yes.
Councilmember Vizioli?
Yes.
Councilmember Bowden?
Yes.
Councilmember Walton?
Yes.
Chairman Ryder?
Yes. Ms. Dan, congratulations.
We expect a lot of
a lot of training to do. in every municipality so that we don't have those referrals back to the council by a construction official. And so we have recognized the need for that training program. We would never presume to take on the high adventure of offering interest, obviously. But you'd be more than welcome to attend the meeting. In fact, Mr. Richo, one of the jobs that we had talked about, one of the descriptions, would be that of a training director or a training manager to train all municipalities who perform, train, even on a short-term basis, to train around the region on the issues of the MOU. So that's something that we're talking about in our overall organization chart. I think it's reassuring, as you mentioned, it's something that's been on our mind as well.
Mark up earlier.
Again, the meeting to cut compensation to
yeah, as I stated before, Mr. File is putting together a few things for council members. Compensation, as you know, for the preservation area is quite frankly out of our hands. It's something that has to be dealt with through the legislature, and compensation through the planning area is quite different. I think that's more of a land use situation. So if there's a specific thing, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about the compensation. But I'm hoping to move in any direction.
I realize that one of those that side are first, but I think discussions can still take place on recommendations. I think because that's not our purpose, we should try to address it, bring recommendations to the legislation.
Outside of encouraging the legislature to do so, you're talking about coming up with and recommending a plan.
I think we need to discuss exactly what we can do, what we can't do, and try to understand.
We do have TDR. And we haven't had a TDR update in quite some time. Do we know how much money we have? And are things sort of stopped in the TDR world right now? Or
we're still very stressed for places to take our TDRs.
How much money do we have right now?
About $1 million left.
And what about 1.2 million left?
That's
10 million. Is Robin planned for November 1st for the meeting of the ACC Bank Directors for that 1.2 million proposition? There's a lot of information at in the course of this program, and the program is on. And so we're down to the fifth round of the program.
Is the fifth round easily open? Are there?
If you do the first program, there are several categories that the ACC Bank Directors have approved. There's a hardship component, and then there's a non-hardship, which is right in the environment of the high-value ag area. We've notified all applicants that have been in the process to date that this grant is available. If they were not hardship previously, they may be considered hardship now. We give everybody a chance to see it.
And just to clarify, the offering is $16,000 per credit? Is that
the current credit value is for the bank is $16,000 per credit.
On the subject, in all our resolutions, we point out important parts of the Act to look at the TDR program, identification of areas for redevelopment, coordination and consistency. I thought we might add to our resolutions from the Act, Section 6N, identifying and designating regional master plan special areas and preservation area within which development shall not occur in order to protect water resources and environmentally sensitive land while recognizing the need to provide just compensation to the owners of those lands when appropriate, whether through acquisition, transfer of development rights programs, or other means of strategy. I would like to see that in the resolution. Provide just compensation for the owners of those lands when appropriate. I would love to have appropriate the bond.
I had a question too, Mr. Chairman. While you said that we're sort of constrained as far as the TDR program, what did you mean by it?
I'm sorry.
Earlier you commented just essentially that we're sort of constrained in regard to what you do. What do you this
we can don't, we can buy them, but we don't have any budget to sell them.
Okay. One thing that I smart mutualists, I can't really advocate these folks, but sometimes they sprinkle. Plan Smart New Jersey put out together rather comprehensive plan for how you can go about developing a successful CDR program. They published that May 12, 2010. And they talked about not just confining ourselves to the towns that are within the Highlands region, but also any town that's in the Highlands counties. I believe that state law is also meant to include any town in the state.
Yes, I'm
not
correct.
Okay, so I know that's what I'm saying. So, as I've raised before, I'll raise it again. We've done a heck of a job going out to solicit folks to comply with the Act, but I have not seen any discernible efforts go out and get folks to join the GR program, and that has been a glaring omission in the effort of your predecessors in trying to make sure that we have a steady stream of revenue for the GR program. We can't expect the legislature, when they can't fund various things they're obligated to fund the GDR program, unless we go out there and put in that effort. So I would implore you to find someone within your staff, or maybe even as part of your development staff, to develop an office that has nothing else on their plate but finding communities that will have GDR areas that will accept development. Make that an integral part of our program. That is going to be, in my mind, the only way we're going to be able to achieve this if we're going to have a GDR program. And if that doesn't work, and it may not, at least we can then go to the legislature and say, we've utilized every single tool you've given us, and it still isn't enough. So fix it, or we can at least. Yeah, you made the effort. We take the effort thing before you make that part of your effort.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have the talent and the staff to do exactly what the suggests. What I'd like to do is schedule that perhaps for a meeting in the near future, next several months, to bring before the council the details of the current EDR program. Let's talk about it as a council, and maybe even form some form of committee to talk about where we would go in the EDR program.
Just to disturb this point, and many, if not all, council members' points of that part of the compensation package, and that is probably the last tool that we have available to us. I have my concerns with the CDR program because I don't want to force the municipality, as stated in the law, to go down that path, but I'll withhold that whole discussion for now until we put it on the agenda.
That's what I agree with. It's voluntary, but if there is efficiency in making them the option available,
there may be places outside of the region that,
yes,
that they can very well to take.
Do you have a council member on the GDR bank board right now?
Yes.
That's right.
I know that too.
Oh, you also?
Only two, yeah. Right. So far, we're able to do the vote on partnership vote.
And there's not a whole lot for you to do right now, but can we get through a few options in personnel and working on the Highland side of things?
The economy is also impacted CDR, whether the lack of building is so limited that the CDR value is diminished. On top of that, you throw the ability of a town to have an impact fee, which starts driving construction costs up. So it's a topic I would love to chat with you and give us a direction on policy and we'll work with it.
At this point, we are discussing the budget. Anybody in the public is on any issue, anybody have anything to say, please raise your hand. Reminder, this is 3 minutes. Simpler. You get the first tip.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting me speak here today. My name is Hank Flunt. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury with 150 acres in the Highlands Preservation Area. About 880,000 acres of land in the Highlands, valued at about $15 billion, was taken from landowners because of the poorly written HILA test. The act stripped them of the land investment value and robbed them of the equity that the land provided, all in the poor cry of saving the water. The scientific boundaries and studies that was done by certain hydrologists in Hunterdon County were not correct, but were believed because certain politicians wanted to keep Hunterdon County apart. Prior scientific studies were done by hydrologists and results were greatly different, but were completely ignored because they would have rocked the boat, and these results would have interfered with the politicians' plans, their plans for my farmland. We were all led to believe that 5 million people need the water that the land grab would supply. The supporters of this land grab went into detail of how water was so scarce and came just short of showing children so dehydrated that they could hardly stand up. Water, water, save the water. It can't be wasted. We must be saved at all costs. Even if the landowners in the preservation area of the Highlands Act have to pay the price, and that's me. Water coming from farms, my farm in Tewksbury, that was supposed to save these thirsty people, is being used with no restrictions to watering lawns, filling swimming pools, and watering grass on 10 or more golf courses. These golf courses pay $231 for a million gallons. I'll repeat that. $231 for a million gallons of water. I have been forced to sacrifice my land use and equity to revive this. It has been 8 years. Does anyone see anything wrong with this? Thanks for letting me speak. I really appreciate that. One other thing I'd like to, if you could update, I don't see my actual comments. I see a synopsis of what I said, but I'd like to see the complete thing that I submit to the Highlands Council. All you got to do is make a copy of it and put it on this thing. You do, but the ones out here don't have it. It's not on this one. So, as John Public, I didn't get it. All right? Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Helen Heinrich, representing New Jersey Farm Bureau. It is absolutely fantastic that finally we are talking about landowner compensation. You probably know that Farm Bureau had problems supporting the Highlands Act, the Highlands RMT, because of the lack of compensation, even though, you know, I'm here every month working for other things. But first of all, farmland preservation money is gone. We are told that DEP has a lot of money they haven't spent, and so we can't get any attention from the legislature to okay some money, or even, I believe, from the administration about releasing some more money for farmland preservation, which we need in the Highlands and other places. The second thing we're told in terms of compensation or equity is the exemption system, which you discussed today, and it is working very well either. As you pointed out, people are not using it because of the problem involved with getting where to go to get one and how to get them approved. And the third thing is the TDR system. It was supposed to be in effect before the RMT was adopted, but and some landowners are getting their even purchased by the bank, but that's not really the way it was intended to work, and we certainly need to figure out a way to make it work. So I am very grateful to especially for continuing to put this on the agenda, because we
really need to do some work in that direction. And something miraculous has happened to the microphone system. I don't know what's different, but all of a sudden, you know, you people can still sit back and we can hear you. Is there some way you're turning them up over there? Keep smiling. Okay, well, whatever it is, keep it up, because you need to hear, you know, every word that you say is important.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to hear?
Thank you. My name is Pat Moffitt. I reside in Peacock. The 2004 Highlands Task Force claimed that without passage of the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Act, the safety of our drinking water would be compromised and treatment costs escalate by an additional $30.3 billion. Similar cost claims supporting the act are heard at nearly every council meeting, with some asserting $50 billion in additional costs. Having spent much of my career in the field, including serving on the project approval board of Northwest Water International, one of the world's largest utilities, the alleged threats to drinking water quality were a death that is genuine, and the billions in added costs grossly, if not impossibly, inflated. Repeated requests on my part to review these cost analyses, however, were not met with engineering calculations, but rather endless stumbles. I want to thank Senator Rojo's office for their effort to resolve this matter. I have a letter that I will leave here with you, dated June 15, 2012, from the Office of Legislative Services, and signed by Michael Malamuck, Associate Counsel, in answer to Senator Rojo's request for supporting cost analysis. And I quote, "In brief, it would seem that no such report or other documentation is readily identifiable." Mr. Malamuck continues, "In addition, my independent research has not yielded any reports or other documentation from which this estimate would seem to be directly derived." Mr. Malamuck's letter offered that the lack of any formal report or fact-based figures did not preclude that this information was not communicated to this task force in a more informal manner. The council should be aware of the absence of a supporting cost justification, formal or informal, would surprise no one with a working knowledge of water treatment. As but partial evidence, submit a 1992 DEP report titled Public Evaluation of Reservoir Protection, wherein the department acknowledged modern water treatment technology precludes the need for large-scale watershed preservation, a practice the report describes as a 19th century exclusion and thus overcome. Importantly, and in total contradiction to what was communicated to the public by the Highlands Task Force, the same DEP document states, and I quote, "Indeed, development of the natural zone might provide additional revenue for the utility and reduce customer bills." The time limit imposed here prevents a fuller accounting of this topic that would demonstrate just how grossly misled the public was in this vital issue. Sadly, the water security and cost issues I have presented are not the only, or perhaps even the most egregious examples of important Highlands assumptions failing to meet a minimum threshold of scientific integrity and required full disclosure. Quite simply, informed environmental resource management and meaningful environmental improvement are impossible when critical issues are improperly framed, essential information omitted, and as it seems here, unsupportable claims are knowingly advanced. Thank you for your
Anybody else in the public for spirit? Yeah.
My name is George Graham. I'm council president of San Lombardo, and I'm also secretary of the League of Municipalities of Sussex County. First of all, I want to thank more of a sense of sanity or more of a sense of balance in this council. I was been here off and on for all these years, and I have grimaced a number of times, and I was very happy about the exchange there. I just want to bring up a couple of points. One is regarding the TDR. Our town received our petition for plan conformance letter saying that we've already done everything we needed to do. And I've been basically the point person on that for the past 5 years. We've seen a lot of money go by. We've seen a lot of money. We call it grants, but it's the money in, money out. I've been here for the feeding frenzies of engineers, attorneys, planners that have sit here and have circled and circled and circled. Hey, you know, I can do this for you. I can do this for you. And then $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 later, I don't feel like our town has developed anything of use where you've seen layers and layers and layers. I was watching all of the wonderful maps here, and I was thinking to myself how wonderful the Big Brother is. You know, you can see everything now. I'm glad I keep my windows closed. But as I looked at there, one of the main things that comes up over and over again is the TDR. There's a lot of discussion about, hey, how do we compensate landowners? Now, we're in the planning area, but my neighbors are all around me, or one way or the other, pushed into the preservation area, which I think is ultimately going to give us some issues. But when you go to the TDRs, where's the compensation coming, or where is anything happening in those areas that are actually receiving the water outside of our area? Now, the gentleman talked about swimming pools and such. Well, is there any plan for that at all? Is there ever going to be a half a cent or a quarter of a cent or a millimeter of a cent that's going to be sent back to this area here for providing the water that they need so desperately? Another thing that's concerning me is this thing about opting in, opting out, volunteer basis. It's really not a volunteer basis. We have a gun to our heads. We have a COA requirement that's this thing, or we have a COA requirement that's this thing. So opt in, everything's beautiful. Opt out, we have to try and figure out where we're going to put 500 homes in a 2 mile square borough, because that's what COA said. So at the end of time, we will have 50,000 jobs or something. We've come to a point where you gentlemen here are the line in the sand of sanity. It's not just a matter of saving water, preserving water, and keeping things in play for our children and our children's children and such. But it's also understanding that people live and save their money and build property or buy property for their retirement, their children's legacy. And basically, I hate to say it, but after 5 years, I think it is a land grab. I really do. I honest to God think it's a land grab. And for the next 3 years when I'm on the council, I'm basically telling the rest of my council, don't do anything. If we opt in, we're screwed. If we opt out, we're screwed.
Thank you for your comment, Council.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I have a committee meeting anticipated.
So,
and I have to excuse myself. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public wish to be heard?
Well, let me quote Genesis. In the beginning, there was a lie. The lie was $30.3 billion in additional water treatment costs should the Highlands, quote, not be saved, unquote. Of course, that was just the beginning. That was the big lie, which engenders other lies. And let me quote from the March 30, 2004, committee meeting of the Senate Environmental Committee and Assembly Environment Solid Waste Committee. Senator Smith, the issue was raised many times during the meeting by fellow legislators and members of the public of landowner compensation. This is 2004. Senator Smith, if there's one lesson tonight, it was a voice in the background from Tom Coos, show me the money. Well, and Chairman McKeon and I pledge that we will show you the money. We are currently working with the governor's office to put together a dedicated and guaranteed source of funding so that the Highlands, which are making a sacrifice for the rest of the state, is properly compensated. We will show you the money. There's been nothing but lies ensuing forward. The next lie is TDR compensation. TDRs have been discounted a minimum of 75% on the appraised dollar. And then you have to have a hardship to even qualify for a TDR. And in addition to that, you have to sign an absolutely odious deed restriction. When you sell a TDR, you're just selling a build right. You're not selling the right to mow, the right to do other things with your land. It's an absurdity. It's basically taking advantage of people who have an admitted hardship, even though they would only qualify for a TDR in that way, and just taking advantage of them further. Then you have these deeds of easement signed by people under duress, basically, that you can now use as an example for other people to sign. It stinks. And the author of that statement that I just read, Senator Smith, presides in a district that discharges, through the Middlesex County Utilities Authority, he discharges what is called a combined flow system, his district does, into the Raritan Bay, which when it rains hard, that means untreated sewage goes into Raritan Bay. And what is the reason for not fixing it? Well, it may cost some money, $839 million. It's okay for his district not to spend money, and it's really just more putting the burden on us more and more and more. Quite frankly, it's getting to the point where it's just disgusting. Hopefully some new members will do something about this. Let me just add that this is only phase one of the master plan for the Highlands. Phase one is to eliminate building. That's well underway. The economics of agriculture will take care of phase two. Farming will disappear. That's the plan.
Anybody else in public?
Wilma Fry, New Jersey Conservation Foundation. I just have a request, which is that the resolutions, especially the resolutions on memorandum of understanding, be available to the public at least a week, prior to its consideration by the council. I would have suggested that you introduce it like a township committee does and then not vote on it till the next meeting, but since your meetings are a month apart at this point, I don't imagine you would want to do that. So in the interest of transparency, I really would urge you to allow us to see these. I think sometimes some good ideas may come in. For example, on the redevelopment projects and so forth, those are always presented in advance so that people have a chance to think about them and analyze them. And I think some of the resolutions are quite complex, and I don't think one cannot even read them in advance. One can hardly offer any intelligent comments. So I would hope that you can do that.
Elliot Rubin, New Jersey Highlands Coalition, and we just like to say that the Highlands Council has gone through a tremendous, really through the circumstances of disruption of its executive staff. Council members here, only two have been around for more than really a couple of years. Very perhaps vulnerable time, and I think you have a very important job to do. This is not the Highlands Act. The Highlands Act is a statute that has been enacted since 2004. You are not the complaint department for the Highlands Water Protection Planning Act. you have a master plan that this body has drafted and adopted, and it really is quite a remarkable planning device. I advise municipalities who find that what their vision is for their town, if it is similar to what is in the master plan, really the option of conforming is a very, very positive thing to do, very productive thing to do, and it's a way that they can maintain the character of their municipality and also determine growth that is not constructing the future slums of their municipality, but growing in a way that is lasting for their children and their children's children. I suspect that now in this time of transition that people may take advantage of some lack of certainty and confidence, and that I support you in moving forward and doing your job the best you can, because I really think you have a very innovative and positive thing to do to all of our members.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Piper. I'm with the Association of New Jersey Environmental Commissions. I want to offer my compliments to Director Plow for having a presentation given by staff on the GIS system. And I hope you'll continue to educate us all about what this staff does. All of you are on top of a very productive bunch of people. And I would recommend that you look around for other publicly accessible GIS systems in the United States and compare yours to them, because by far and away you are the leader in the United States. And I think you should be proud of that. Even if there was no Highlands Act and you had produced that product, you would have accomplished a great deal. On a daily basis, we deal with municipalities all over the state, and quite frankly, I feel adrift when I can't just pop up the map. If I'm working in Gloucester County, I'm lost. So it is a unique product and a very valuable product. And I hope
we found a way to sell our TDR money.
Well, you know, there are some things inside your program that are called black boxes, and I don't know if you have the rights to them or not, but in any case, the other thing I wanted to bring to your attention is that at Amgen, we do training for municipalities all over the state on a broad range of issues, and we would be happy to cooperate with you in developing training for municipalities to take over the exemption process. I think it's something that you need to be careful about, and I think that you can anticipate some gear grinding. We can do our best, though, to try to make sure that people are working from the same sheet in every town and have an understanding of what it is they're doing. Feel free to look at our website, anjec.org, to see the kind of things that we have posted for communities all over the state. In terms of Mr. Bowden's comments about adding the language to the resolution about the compensation in the no build area, I think that's a great idea. And I would also say that I commend to you your own open space report that was produced at the end of 2010 for you to look at and see where we are with regard to open space preservation in the islands. And I would make a plea to you to be a little more active in terms of participating in the funding debate about open space in Trenton. And when you actually look at the statistics, in the Highlands, municipalities have open space trust funds that generate something upwards of $60 million a year. Now, not all that funding is available for the Highlands. But the fact is that we've seen a number of those issues reduced. If we're serious about compensation, we need to keep the flow of money open. So, again, I would encourage you to engage a little more closely in the funding debate. Keep good contact with Garden State Preservation Trust people. They can certainly provide you with facts and figures to support the wisdom of doing this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My concern on the, I'm not going to start the debate now, on the funding source and getting involved and making decisions on that really becomes a political decision. And I think within our purview to suggest that the legislature move forward in trying to find the funding source, but I don't think it's necessarily up to us to tell them how to go about funding.
Perhaps not. On the other hand, let me suggest that clearly defining your needs is not a bad idea.
Okay. Anybody else in public wish to hear?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, I'm Gabriel Salvetti. I'm also a farmer in Tewksbury Township. I'm the neighbor here of Mr. Klump.
And I'm happy not to hear
you. Gabriel Salvetti, Califon, New Jersey. I'm a neighbor of Mr. Klump's, and had it not been for him telling me that there was a meeting this evening, it's not the first time. I had a bunch of remarks to make, and I'm sorry to tell you, I was not quite able to prepare, but let me see. I'm here because of a property that I own in Mountain Lake, Great Meadows, Liberty Township. It's called the Mountain Lake General Store. It's a 1,200 square foot building that's been in existence since, probably the first half of the last century. It just so happens that about 6 years ago I was in this very building, and I did not appear before this council, but I went to see one of your staff asking for help about how I can get this form done. This is basically your form. It's the Highland Applicability and Water Quality Management Plan, and it has another title, and then it says, please, and clearly, I don't have any of you familiar with it. It's about 17-odd pages. If I were to complete this and submit this to the DEP so that I can establish my grandfather situation, it'd probably be about 3-odd pages. And my engineer tells me that to submit and to prepare the attachments, it costs about $18,000. I guess I'm here because I would hope that you folks use all the technology that you've got available, and perhaps Google Satellite, and, you know, for a small fee, issue a letter to me saying that Mr. Salvetti, your property is in fact rental. That's all I need. With that, I can go to DEP and proceed with my business. Mount Lake General Store is not a big employer. It's going to employ maybe 3 people. That's it. But the community service has been there for a long, long, long time. And unfortunately, it ran afoul of the DEP and it was forced to close before I purchased it. I need you folks to simplify something like this. You two gentlemen are making a lot of sense with your comments. These are the first comments that I've heard that are stakeholder friendly. And I think that's one of the things that the council needs to do. Become more stakeholder-friendly. Your procedures and your forms and feedback. I need to know this evening from you which one of your staff members or perhaps one of you fellows, sorry, one of you gentlemen, can help me get what I need. I need to have my copy.
We're obviously not prepared to do that. We don't have the authority to just grant that, but I would suggest you contact either Margaret Wilson or Gene File, and they'll take care of it or correct you.
public, wish to be heard? Anybody?
One, half a minute. I won't even get up there. You know, when this legislation was passed, you can go back, you know, Smith ran all around and Stoney McHugh and they promised everything. Every property owner would be compensated. Don't worry about it. That was the main thrust. Now, as Mr. Strook brought up, we were lied to. Or it never materialized. You tell me how you can pass legislation with no funding in place to compensate the people it's going to affect. Does that sound reasonable? No. But in our legislation here in New Jersey, that's just what happened. So, you know, when you say for the people in the preservation area, there's no hope.
I didn't say that.
You did say. Okay.
No hope?
But, yeah, I need to be compensated. If you're talking CDR for $16,000 an acre for a spread, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's absurd. But the main plus in my little thing here, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm, you know, even the fellow that spoke here, you know, that whole grant thing here was a debacle, and as far as I'm concerned, that was a conflict of interest for the planner. And all these guys, man, they swooped in here and they grabbed all that money. Just like he said, he's no better off now than he was 3 years ago. And just spent how many thousands of dollars? And now, but I'll stop there. Thank you, that's all. I feel better.
That will end the public comments portion. We do not have an executive session. Can I get a motion to adjourn?